So, probably, maybe, based on the title about this morning, we're looking at the story of a man we find in the New Testament who had an encounter with Jesus, and it changed his life. It's not really shocking, because that happened often, but this little man was sprung into new life through Jesus. Just like Jesus encounters. I say often because it didn't always work that way. Not everyone who had or has an encounter with Jesus had a positive life change. Oftentimes they did. And in this case, in this story, his life was changed. But there are many that Jesus encountered who did not experience new life, which is unfortunate. Today we're looking at the story of, you might have guessed it, Zacchaeus, a wee little man with big, big hopes. I feel kind of sorry for Zacchaeus because, I mean, there's a song written about him, but, I mean, not a, you know, a wee little man was he. That song was back in the 80s, I think. Our text this morning comes from Luke chapter 19. We're going to be going through the first 10 verses. I want to start with verses 1 through 4, and this is what it says in verses 1 through 4. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. I think, just remember that. His motivation really was to just see who Jesus was, the text says. He didn't really have a lot of high hopes or expectations. It says that he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, since he knew Jesus was coming that way. Now, I don't know how high he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Did he climb just a couple of feet? Did he climb 20 feet? I don't know. He climbed high enough so that he could see Jesus above the crowd. Before we go too far, though, let's talk a little bit about Zacchaeus. The text says that he was a tax collector and that he was wealthy. I think just based on those, we can imagine that Zacchaeus would face some obstacles in his life. Not only was he short, but he was a wealthy tax collector. I mean, what is generally our impression of even the IRS today? It's not generally great perception. You know, when we think about the IRS, we don't necessarily get a warm, fuzzy feeling. Doesn't really necessarily come over us. If we were told that we were going to be audited by the IRS, it wouldn't leave us feeling great inside. But nonetheless, here is Zacchaeus, a tax collector. He is not a tax collector of the temple taxes, but rather he is an official representative of the Roman government. He's got some obstacles. He's got some obstacles. To make matters worse, Zacchaeus is a Jew. So he's collecting taxes for the Roman government from the nation of Israel. Roman would give a defeated country a great deal of latitude so long as they behaved and paid. And to make matters even worse, was he a tax collector? It says he was the chief tax collector, which meant that he oversaw a bunch of other tax collectors. Rome demanded a certain amount of taxes from each territory in people. Anything over that amount, the tax collectors keep for shipping and handling. Or their commission, if you will. There was a great deal of honesty associated with this practice. Zacchaeus was a man who would have been despised by many. Probably despised by even his own people. Even if he was honest, because Zacchaeus was collecting taxes for Rome. Even if he was honest, just by the nature of what he did, he would have been despised by many. So the first red flag is that Zacchaeus was probably felt very lonely and rejected. Then from the text in verse 1, we are told that Zacchaeus was wealthy. That's red flag. Rich is a crime, or it was a crime. But let's face it, Jesus spoke a lot about wealth and riches and how that could inhibit one coming to God because they do not think they have the need. So he's got another, another thing against him. God does not condemn the wealth itself, but rather the tendency to rely on that wealth rather than to rely on God. So imagine living a life where you are despised, where you are not well-liked. Why in the world would anyone take that job? I mean, wow. But anyway, here he is. This is his job. This is who he is. Most likely gained a lot or a great deal of wealth through his job. I mean, after all, if you have the money, you have everything you need, right? Zacchaeus, in the eyes of many, had it all. Yet, we find he really had not much of anything. Know anybody in that boat that perceivably have it all but really have nothing? Many came to Jesus to see if he would perform a miracle. Others came out of curiosity. Why did Zacchaeus seek Jesus? Was he just curious? Did he just want to see him? Was he looking for a miracle? I believe Zacchaeus was looking for hope. I believe Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree looking for hope that day. Verse 3 tells us that Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. This implies that he was trying to get a visual. But I think deep down, Zacchaeus was looking for something far more than. The text says he was looking to get a glimpse of Jesus, but I think he was hoping for a little bit more than just a glimpse. The phrase translated was trying denotes to seek or an investigation or an examination. The word translated see denotes to feel or perceive. Zacchaeus, I believe, searching for hope. So he knows the route that Jesus would take. So Zacchaeus runs ahead of Jesus, and he climbs up in the tree, probably hoping to grab onto a low-hanging branch just to get up above the crowd a little bit. And then here comes Jesus. And here's what it says starting in verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And then verse 7, all the people who saw this began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. I believe that Jesus already knew that Zacchaeus was going to be there. I mean, I don't know about you, but I, especially if I'm in a crowd of people, I don't really walk with my head up. I walk with my head more down and cautious of my surroundings. So it says when Jesus got to the tree, he stopped and looked up at Zacchaeus and called him down. I'm quite certain that Jesus knew that he was probably going to be there. Zacchaeus found a hope that noticed. I mean, how many things in life do we place our hope or look for hope? Yet what we are seeking to place our hope pays no attention to us. All these things we're looking for hope in all those things that don't pay us no attention. Think about when you were younger and you had paying special attention to that boy or girl who didn't even notice you, who didn't even know that you even really existed. Maybe you placed your hope in your bank account, but your bank account never even knew you. Some placed their hope in fame and fortune, yet fame and fortune never even give them the time of day. Some place their hope in having stuff, yet when the stuff they have, they walk away unfulfilled, empty, and frustrated. I believe that Zacchaeus had a big bank account, and I believe that Zacchaeus had a lot of stuff, and it wasn't helping. It did nothing for him. Zacchaeus may have placed his hope in a number of areas, maybe even in his wealth, yet something was missing for Zacchaeus. There was this hole inside of him, and what could possibly fill it? So here is Zacchaeus. Must have looked a little ridiculous. A grown man, a wealthy man, a tax collector, sitting up in a tree, hoping for something to change. Hoping that hope would finally take note of him. What is Zacchaeus expecting? Is he expecting to just simply see Jesus and hear him teach? Or is he hoping for a bit more? I don't know exactly what he was hoping for, but I'm quite certain he got a lot more than what he was hoping for. Because true hope delivers beyond our expectations. As Jesus approaches the tree that Zacchaeus is perched in, he looks at Zacchaeus and says, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today." Zacchaeus, come down. Come down, I'm going to your house today. He tells Zacchaeus to hurry down from the tree because Jesus says, because today it is necessary for me to be at your home. The way the statement from Jesus is phrased in the Greek, it means that Jesus considered it part of his mission to go to the home of Zacchaeus. It is my mission today to go to your house, not come down and maybe we'll go to your house. Like, I must do this. This is my mission for the day, is to have dinner at your house. The word is necessary. It implies that it was a mission, essential that Jesus do this. So Zacchaeus hurries down from the tree and joyfully welcomed Jesus. This is the troubling part of the story to me. And this isn't one that I had really thought of much about before, because I had always thought about the story being about Zacchaeus and about Jesus and about this change that took place when Zacchaeus encountered Jesus. What I find of interest and kind of backs up some of my early comments about how the people felt about Zacchaeus is how the crowd reacts. This is kind of troubling to me, actually. All who saw it began to complain. He's gone to stay with a sinful man. Now, we do not know if Zacchaeus heard all the grumbling, but talk about putting water on the fire. Here is a sinner. Here is a man who was in desperate search of Jesus, and he found Jesus. And Jesus met him in his place, and the crowd could not even be happy for him. Instead, the crowd was critical of the moment. Here was somebody in desperate need of Jesus, and found Jesus, and the crowd gets angry. I would like to hope that if you and I know somebody that is a sinner and that is feeling lonely and in search for Jesus and came into a encounter with Jesus, we would be celebrating and be happy for him in that moment. We wouldn't say, Jesus, why aren't you coming to my house? I've grown up in church. I've been a Christian all my life. Why don't you come and eat with me? Why are you going to eat with him? But that's what the crowd did. And I find that very sad. You know that the crowd should have rejoiced over the fact that Jesus was going to spend time with this tax collector, that Jesus was going to invest in the life of this sinner, that Jesus was going to bring hope into the life of this sinner, but they could not bring themselves to be happy for Zacchaeus. So I ask the question this morning, who is your Zacchaeus? Who is it in your life that if Jesus were to go to their house instead of yours, that you would grumble? Might I suggest our Zacchaeus is anyone with whom we've withheld the gospel of Jesus Christ? Okay, Jesus, and most likely the 12, and who knows, whoever else, were in that home, or in the home. The timeline makes it sound like all we read happened outside there. We make it sound like the story is all about the moment that Jesus met Zacchaeus. But there's a second part to the story. Jesus went to his home, and in that home, I'm sure the 12 disciples were with him, and probably a few others. Because this is what it says in verse 8 and 9. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to the house, to this house, because this man too is a son of God. Of Abraham." That's what it says in verse 9. Talk about transformation. Talk about transformation. See, this was a hope that was life-changing. Based on the reaction we see from Zacchaeus, it would be easy to surmise that Jesus did something in that house that night. This wasn't just the meeting at the sycamore tree, but inside that house, Jesus did something that caused Zacchaeus to be moved, changed, and convicted. He looks at Jesus in utter amazement and makes a couple of proclamations. The basis of those proclamations is why I believe that Jesus was teaching maybe on the subject of taking care of the poor and not cheating folks. Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the Lord, the text says. That Zacchaeus most likely placed his hope, a hope that was never before fulfilled, now means nothing to him. The one thing that he placed all his hope in for his entire good portion of his life now means very little to him. He tells Jesus, I'll give half of what he had to help the less fortunate. And then he makes another astounding offer of giving up half of his possession wasn't enough. He says, everything that I've stole from somebody, I'll give back four times as much. It's a lot of money, because I'm sure he stole plenty. The chances are high that Zacchaeus would have cheated more than just a few people. But based on his offer, he probably was not maybe as crooked as others in his profession, because he made the bulk of his wealth by cheating people. He would not have been able to fulfill that vow to Jesus. But here's the even better part. Remember when we talked about the motivation, or how important the motivation behind what we do is important to God. Why do we do what we do for the Lord? It's the motivation. And that we are not to give or to get. Jesus responds to Zacchaeus in verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house. Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. Jesus responds to Zacchaeus' repentance with the offer of salvation. The hope that Jesus offered motivated Zacchaeus to a new life-changing direction in life. This hole that Zacchaeus had in his heart for who knows how long was finally filled. The hope he was seeking finally came. Zacchaeus found the right place to place his hope. And I continued, and we stopped with 9. There's still one more verse. There's still verse 10. And this is what verse 10. The Son of Man has came to seek and save the lost. And this is the last point that I want to make. The hope that Zacchaeus found that night is the hope for all. It's the hope for all. It wasn't just the hope for Zacchaeus. Jesus says, the Son of Man has came to seek and save the lost. The message of salvation is not only for Zacchaeus. It's an invitation for all. It's for all the lost. The message of salvation is for all the hurting. The message of salvation is for all the brokenhearted. The message of salvation is for all of the addicted. If Jesus desires for the lost to find hope, then so should we. Jesus' desire for everyone that is lost to find hope, we should desire for everyone that we know is lost to find hope as well. Please don't let us be those that would grumble when a sinner finds the hope of Jesus. Please don't let us become like them. When a sinner finds Jesus, don't let us grumble. Let us rejoice. Furthermore, don't just let us rejoice when a sinner finds Jesus. Let's help sinners find Jesus. Let's not just hope that they find Jesus. Let's help them find Jesus. I will close with this. Zacchaeus was a man without friends. Zacchaeus was a man without hope. And he was a man wandering aimlessly in life. In Jesus, Zacchaeus found purpose. In Jesus, Zacchaeus found fulfillment. And in Jesus, Zacchaeus found salvation. Look, we all have a God-shaped hole, each and every one of us. There is a God-shaped hole in our heart, and the only thing that fills a God-shaped hole is God. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that every one of you knows someone in need of hope this morning. You either sat at a desk next to somebody this week at work that needed hope. You might have had dinner with somebody that needed hope. You might be sitting next to somebody right now that needs hope. You have a family member that needs hope. Each of you knows someone in need of hope. What are we going to do to get them to Jesus? What are we going to do to get them to Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you, it's easy to feel bad for someone in their circumstances. But can I tell you, merely feeling bad for someone in their circumstances falls far short what we are called to do. How reassuring or how meaningful is it really for you to say to the person next to you, "I feel bad for you"? What have you really offered them? Need to do is get them to Jesus. And quit grumbling when we read stories where Jesus would spend time with sinners. Let us not be those people. Let us understand that we all know people in need of hope, and that we all need to get those people in front of Jesus so they can experience the transforming love that Zacchaeus felt that day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and Lord, I thank you for your word, particularly this time in my own life where, man, I've read this story a million times, and I've preached sermons on it, and I've talked to youth groups about it. And every time, I've always made it about just Zacchaeus. I've never made it about the crowd. I've never made it about people grumbling when you offered hope to a sinner. Lord, I pray that you would not ever allow us to become like them. Lord, I pray that not only that we are not them, but that we can rejoice when a sinner finds you. And not only that we rejoice when a sinner finds you, but that we would help sinners find you. Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts this morning of the job that we have to do of bringing sinners into your presence. We do thank you for the message of hope that is found in this story as well. And Lord, I pray that it is a hope for each one of us, for all of the hurting, for all the brokenhearted, for all those that are in need. The story of hope, in that your hope can far exceed our expectations. But Lord, there's a world full of broken people who just need to see you. Lord, give us the courage and give us the opportunity to do our We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand if you are able.